Coming back into open session, Mr. Kiernan, please report.
Yes, we went into closed session 11:35, came out at 11:52. With regard to item 14A, which are a series of opiate suits, Supervisor Kopseth made the motion, Supervisor Owen seconded it, and by a vote of 5-0, the board approving the various settlements, proposals in the opioid suits. It designated me as county counsel to sign the necessary documentation for purposes of effectuating those settlements. With regard to item 14C, Ayala versus Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department, the board approved by a vote of 5-0, with Supervisor Hott making the motion, Supervisor Kopseth seconded it defend that suit with the higher counsel for purposes of doing that. That's all the reportable action.
Okay. We're going to finish up with item 7C. Mr. Dean.
Thank you, Chair. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This item is regarding the limited density owner-built dwellings urgency ordinance, which is associated with homes that are lost in our fires. This is built off of the Slater fire model. Basically, 2020, we had the Slater fire come through, do a lot of damage, and as a result, the board had an emergency ordinance to allow to assist with rebuilding in the community by waiving permit fees and also expediting the permit process for those homes. So now, fast forward, obviously we had the fires of 2022, and there's been direction to do the same for those fires. However, in this case, to blanket for any future wildfire emergencies in the future. So this ordinance is tailored for wildfire emergencies that would occur in the future that may happen, so we don't have to repeat doing this over and over. So that said, basically there's a couple things, three things actually that I want to point out that are different from the Slater. So I have discussion or direction based on these items. So on page 8, item I, the conversation is at what point would an emergency be declared and this particular ordinance come into effect. In the case of the Slater, it was declared locally at the state level and also the federal level. How this is written is it would come into play if there's a local declaration. Just for example, so we had the Klamath on fire, right? 50 homes burned up. Very lucky to get any state declaration with that. But we could very well have another fire that hits 30 homes, 50 homes, and it doesn't, you know, qualify for state. So this is designed so at the local level, if the Board of Supervisors declared it is a local emergency, then the folks that lost their homes would be eligible for this program, which sets back the building code standards to 2008 minus the electrical, plumbing, and mechanical. Basically, it alleviates them from the solar package concern and also the fire sprinklers. But all the fire hardening aspects of the home are still going to be required for that. So, are you okay with the local designation?
Yeah.
All right. Also, the Slater fire, it was for a 3-year period. Obviously, you have a fire, you have a damage cleanup phase, right? It eats up time.
How would have
frame this here
now is for
4 years. 4 year time frame from the point of declaration. With the Slater, we were back into it. It occurred in September. The ordinance came into effect in March, right? So there was some type of cleanup there. It came into the 3-year period. So basically, there was a year cleanup, 2 years to rebuild. So in the ballpark of 3 years, after getting cleaned up, if you go with the 4 year since the designation, that's kind of the ballpark you came in as far as being reasonable to hit that 3 year target. If you agree.
So I just have a question. So if you get something like in Kenny, we might have a revision of the floodplain. Does that have to go back to the Planning Commission, and would that extend that amount of time beyond the 4 years, or I'm not sure the process how that works?
Resistance, it would be set. You know, so you'd be eligible for a 4 year period to apply for your application.
To apply. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it would be from the point of application.
Okay.
Through the chair. To the point, Rick, I noticed in definition of rural, we've excluded floodplain combined districts. So I don't know to what extent that includes application of this to a floodplain area. I definitely don't know what the top of floodplain combined district is.
What page is that?
That's on page six.
Six.
So additional context, the floodplain combining district, it's a zoning district within our zoning code, and that was one of the districts that does not allow for housing whatsoever, by right or conditional use.
Got it. And so does that mean that the floodplain...
Not in general. Okay. It's just a specific zoning district of a certain parcel. That doesn't mean it's, you know, an entire floodplain or a... Yeah,
got it. I just wanted to make sure we weren't
excluding someone that has a home already in a floodplain. Yeah, that would not be the case for this.
Thank you. Lastly, I'd bring your attention to page 12, where we're discussing fees. Actually, it starts on page 11. How it's written now, and this is subject to change. I know I had a conversation with Supervisor Kopsep, with Lake Chastain, and so forth. But, this would be a blanket for our board, right? So, how this is written currently would give the building official the right, if you will, to waive fees or not waive fees based on insurance coverage. So, we could change this to move forward that doesn't, regardless of the insurance coverage, fees would be waived, as with the slider, or entertain a hybrid of that. Basically, where if there is full coverage for that dwelling, then the building department fees will not be waived.
Mr. Chair, just in regards to that, we have it in there because sometimes the insurance will pay for it, and we would be recouping it from their payments in insurance, and so it's not taking anything from the homeowner. But it's because they benefited from the insurance for paying those fees. To answer around that a little bit. Is it because insurance would be paying those fees when we keep it for insured?
Yeah, right. As part of their policy insurance, coverage would, you know, cover the rebuild of the house,
right.
Not supposedly replacement of the dwelling.
Right.
If they were underinsured or not insured at all, then the building official would have that privilege to waive those fees.
Right. And if they did have insurance, that wouldn't be coming out of their pocket, it would be coming out of their insurance pocket.
In theory.
Yeah. In theory. Yeah.
Right.
I guess a question to the council. Have we included those waived fees in our litigation when somebody expires?
My understanding is yes.
Okay.
And Rick's nodding his head. Just to be clear, and as correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of the fee issue is that we had within the existing code something that says we're going to collect fees, but in fact we haven't been doing so. And so in order to make our practice match what the code says, I think the way we've amended it is to indicate that for underinsured and uninsured individuals in low income or very low income areas, you have the discretion to waive the fees. And obviously you do so in a unbiased way. You have a standard being applied universally. So I just want to make sure the board is understanding that in addition to somebody having to be underinsured or uninsured, they also have to be in low income or very low income.
Thanks for bringing that up, because that to me, is from a philosophical standpoint, why are we subsidizing people that can't take care of their own property and taking advantage of the people that are doing the right thing by having insurance and, you know, doing all the right protocols? So I get the low income part. So I have to make sure that's in there. And so I guess that would be the hybrid version of it, right?
Yeah, just going back to what Supervisor Howe just mentioned, with the Slater fire, right? So currently, with the litigation piece, there's the potential to recover that cost. And currently that is about $55,000 right now.
Okay.
Good.
And finally, through the chair, I've got something. And I've distributed this, and it's available for public to view as well. There was inadvertently, it looks like, missing some boilerplate language. And so that, if the board is inclined to adopt this ordinance, it ought to do so amending the ordinance to include the boilerplate language, which I've distributed. One subject, so basically those sections deal with this not being subject to CEQA, indicating that to the extent there's a constitutionality or that any sections is determined to be invalid, that the bulk, that the remainder of the ordinance remains in place. CEQA is inapplicable. And then finally, there's a substantive section which would be in the code, which is section 3. And that is repealing the sunsetting provision. Before this was set to expire December 31st, 2024, I think that now that we're no longer looking to have this apply only to the Slater fire, but also to fires subsequent to that and any future fires, I think the intent would be not to have it expire December 31st, 2024, and therefore that section is being repealed. That's what the section 3 on the thing I'm passing out addresses.
Okay. So you bring in section 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Correct. And that, as I've indicated for the record, is has been made available to the public at the same time it's been made available.
It's boilerplate.
Yeah.
Boilerplate.
Correct.
Okay. And just to verify, that's going to be inserted on page 15 above the passed and adopted sentence, correct?
You're the one that's going to insert it. When you go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm getting it in the right spot.
That sounds right, but I just want to look at what you said.
My motion includes when you can put that.
Yes, exactly. That's
where,
exactly
where
she
wants.
All righty.
Right above the pass and adopted.
Right. That works.
Right.
Okay. COPSIF, helped and include, added. Alrighty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Oberg.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Thank you much.
All right. And we want to board and staff reports. Anything from staff?
Nothing to report.
Board reports. Supervisor Chris, anything?
Something wrong here.
Supervisor Oberg?
Nothing much. Thank you.
Supervisor Help?
Michael and I met with the Cal Fish and Wildlife on the 2nd with our monthly meeting. And also, I was with Supervisor Copsett again on the 16th at the Licensed Foresters meeting. All the announcements that we were both on yesterday.
Michael?
Did RCRC from here. I had to do Zoom. That was different because it has to be to the public, and it managed all right, but it's sure cumbersome. I hope the state legislature opens that door to that, just being able to Zoom in again versus the requirements that we're jumping through, those hoops that we're jumping through. as Supervisor Hupton indicated, met with Cal Fish and Wildlife Also went to the foresters meeting and the, I'll call it the water tour that the county provided yesterday for Department of Interior Representative Matt Strickler and DOR Representative Jeff Payne, Water Board staff that was also present, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Fish and Wildlife. Highly successful.
Okay, Brent?
SSV and Orcal, RC&D.
Okay, so I was on the Zoom meeting along with Supervisor Oakland with the Public Service Area 2 on Aging. Supervisor Oakland is going to be the Vice Chair next year. Thank you for that.
Sure.
I will be leaving tomorrow morning, heading down to LA for a CSAC Executive Board meeting. I don't know if any of my fellow supervisors saw the Governor's announcement on Sunday regarding taking money out of MHSA for mental health beds. I will tell you from a rural standpoint, it's probably a good thing. The urbans are not too keen on that, but I mean, yeah, as we know, we have to ship everyone out of the county, so it'll be on the ballot.
What have they done with the closure in Susanville? Isn't that facility just the prison? Isn't it just empty?
There's no prisoners in there.
I know. I mean, you'd think they'd rehab it to.
Angela Davis County Administrator, the governor has a plan for, I'm forgetting the prison's name off the top of my head.
San Quentin.
Thank you. San Quentin, yes. To modify that to be a housing facility for mentally ill. Mm-hmm. So, like a rehab. So.
Right.
Like a one-stop shop. So.
Anyways, I expect a healthy conversation at our executive board this week. More to come. But as we all know, 85% of the homeless population is in those urban areas, but we all you have to do is go buy behavioral health from here and see how bad it is in Wairika. So, you know, we still have to see the effects, and hopefully we'll make some inroads there. Wendy?
Is the executive board meeting the PSA too, or
no,
advisory?
California State Association of Counties.
CSAC, yeah. But you said you were on a Zoom meeting for PSA 2?
Yes, there was Public Service Area 2 on Aging. That was yesterday.
Oh, on Aging?
Yes.
So it was not the executive board, correct?
No. Well, it would have been the executive board for PSA 2.
Yes.
Right, because they have an advisory committee.
Right. This was the executive.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. With that, meeting adjourned.